Again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. May the Lord bless you and encourage you right there where you are. I know sometimes family, hey, we see each other at our best and our worst. And I thank God for grace. Thank God for healing. But we thank God for families today in love and just thank God for his many blessings. So today, if you'd like to join me, I want to begin in John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter 20. And I'm typically a quiet person, if you didn't know that. So I have to, my voice gets a little dried out here for the, between the worship practice and then worshiping and then speaking. So thank God for water. John chapter 20. And before I actually read the verses, I'll start with this. I want to ask you how you would relate to the people that we're going to read about in Scripture here, okay? How do you relate to these people? I'll just give you a quick background, and then we'll read the Scriptures here. How do you relate to maybe someone? We'll read the account of a lady. She's there weeping, and she's hurting at the grave of a loved one who had just recently passed away. So maybe how do you relate to hurt, and how do you relate to maybe someone crying or maybe a lost loved one, or not lost in the sense of spiritually, but they've passed. And we see another scene where we see a group of men hiding behind a locked door in fear. Maybe you can relate to battling fear somehow in your life, which we all do. And then we see another account of this man who is feeling the guilt and condemnation for having fallen once again and battling not only kind of failing, but feeling like a failure. So this morning, maybe you can relate to some of these in some way. And these three, I would call them emotions and experiences of hurt, fear, and failure. Hurt, fear, and failure are emotions and experiences that we face throughout our entire lives. So if you're going through a season right now, you are certainly not alone. And the Scripture deals with real people and real issues and real situations. And when Jesus came back to life from the dead, he appeared to every one of these people whom I just mentioned and just brought up to you, and he offered them what he offers us today. And I like to share it like this because it helps me to remember it. And it's a theme I've actually shared a few years ago, at least the kind of the nature of it and the topic of it. And so the message today is simply this: Jesus offers CPR. Jesus offers CPR. And I'm not just talking about the physical, you know, the heart pumping and the breathing in, and but just spiritually, because the CPR in our normal thinking would be cardiopulmonary, heart, lung, and then resuscitation. Just a real simple definition of resuscitate means to, and we may have it there on your screen, it means to restore someone to an active or flourishing state. So just think about that. I love that when I saw it. To resuscitate means to restore to an active or flourishing state. So when we talk about cardiopulmonary, if I were to say, I love you with all of my heart, I'm not talking about that physical muscle, the organ that's pumping blood throughout my body right now. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about my soul, like the seat of my emotion. Some people would call it like the core of your being, your actually maybe your spirit. So when we talk about Jesus offering CPR, he offers a restoration of an active and flourishing state to our heart, an active and flourishing state to our emotions and to our soul and our spirit. So today, if you feel like you need CPR, Jesus offers CPR. And he's a doctor who still makes house calls. He's the great physician, and he's right there with you today. And so today, just open up your heart, and I'll give you the three letters here for what the CPR. I changed it a little bit. It's not cardiopulmonary resuscitation. But the first one is that Jesus offers comfort. Jesus offers comfort, CPR. Before we read these scriptures here in John chapter 20, I'll begin reading in verse 11. I want to share something real quick. I believe it was 2 weeks ago today. In fact, I just recognized birthdays. 3 weeks ago today, We had a couple of our ladies in the church who celebrated. If I remember correctly, I want to say it was the 19th. And we had a couple ladies celebrate right on that Sunday. And I talked to one of them, and she had fallen a few weeks before, and she was really doing well. She seemed like she was. You know, I talked to her on the phone. Because of the restrictions, I can't go in to see her. Or even our mom is in a similar situation. We can't go in to see her. But she called me on one day herself and just said, "I feel so good. I sat up all day in my wheelchair." She was telling me how good she felt. She was getting me excited about how she was coming along. And that was 3 weeks ago today. And then 2 weeks ago today, after we finished streaming, we're learning a couple new songs here. So the worship team stayed after. And after they all left, you know, after practice, I was here in the sanctuary by myself. And I noticed I had a message. So I listened to the message, and I couldn't hardly believe it. This lady, the one who was in that facility, had just passed away that morning, our sister Lily McAllister. And her sister had called to tell me. And I was like, you know, that's so hard to believe. She was doing so well. And I thank God that our last memories of her by sight, in human sight, and you don't have to move the camera. I'm just on point over here. She would come in, and my wife started picking her up over recent days, or weeks and months, and would bring her in the handicap entrance here. And she'd come in her wheelchair, and she would like to sit right there about where you are, Greg, I think, on about that third. She just stayed in her wheelchair, but stayed right there. That was her little spot. You know, church people get their spots in their pews. And my wife would stop, she'd get up, you know, they'd have coffee, and she'd bring that in, sit there. But to see her, when we were worshiping the Lord, she was over there lifting her hands, giving God praise during the worship service. Then I remember, and I don't remember what I was saying, I don't remember the week, the message, or anything, but it caught my attention for some reason that maybe I stood her out like this, but I saw her over there. And she had a bulletin, and on the back of the bulletin, there are lines for people to write notes. And she was trying to press on her hand. She didn't have anything to press on, and she was writing notes from the message on that Sunday morning. I didn't say anything, but it just stood out to me. And I was able to share that testimony with her family Friday before last. Was about 9 days ago in a cemetery, and I'm out there with a speaker on a microphone, and they're out in their cars with their windows rolled down because of, again, of all the restrictions. But Jesus offers comfort. And the Bible says right here in John chapter 20 and verse 11, it says, "But Mary, she went to the graveside there on that early Sunday morning, and she was close." This isn't Mary, his mother. This is a different Mary. And she stood outside by the tomb crying, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked inside the tomb because it was open. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the foot where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Could you imagine that? Could you imagine a loved one who has passed away and someone took their body out of the grave? That's hard to even comprehend. And she's hurting, man. She's remembering this one who loved her as she loved. I mean, she was close to Jesus. She was so grateful to him. And he had passed away, and she was hurting. And she was crying right there. And so Jesus offers comfort. And we grieve when a loved one passes. And in fact, it's even healthy to grieve. It's part of the healing process. It's good to grieve in a way, but the issue is God doesn't want us to grieve. He doesn't want his sons and daughters in deep sorrow and grieving like others who have no hope in Christ. If we know the Lord, this is not the end. He says that he's coming back, and that even those who have gone on, even their bodies are going to come out of that grave. They're going to rise first, and those who remain, their bodies are going to be changed when the Lord returns. And the Bible says he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise, and those, even those bodies are going to be miraculously raised, and this decay will put on incorruption, and what it was death is going to put on eternal life, and even our bodies, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. And he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. He offers us a living hope because Jesus conquered death today. And so here's Mary. She's crying. And the Bible says this. She says in verse 15, or this is actually Jesus speaking. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she thought it was a gardener. She's just there crying. She hears someone. She thought it was somebody who worked in the garden. And she says, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." And somehow when he spoke her name, she recognized. And she turned to him and said, "Rabbi," or "teacher." And she just ran up to him and she was holding on to him. And when she was there like that, see, here's the thing. She was there hurting and crying. And in those moments, I want you to please realize Jesus may be closer than you think. He may be closer than we think. I'm not saying you, we're in this together. But Jesus was right there with Mary and she didn't realize it. And my brother and my sister, right there where you are, if you're hurting, if you're grieving, his spirit is right there with you. And we can turn to him in faith because Jesus comforted her. He offered comfort to Mary and he offers comfort to us today because he's a God of all comfort. And he wants us to turn to him in faith and pour out our heart to him in prayer. Seek him, draw close to him in prayer. Tell him all about it. Open your heart. You don't have to hold anything back from Jesus. Just pour out your heart to him and then receive the comfort he offers. Receive. And it doesn't matter when we're hurting for any reason. Maybe someone wronged us or maybe there was some great disappointment. It doesn't really matter the reason why we hurt. He is a God of comfort and he offers comfort to us. Just go to him. Please, if there's anything I could ever do to serve anyone, my greatest desire and the greatest blessing I could be to anyone is to connect you somehow to God and point you to closer fellowship and walk in relationship with him. If God will use me to do that, thank God. I thank God that he offers comfort to us. And he doesn't just comfort us to make us comfortable. No, he wants us to be a comfort up to others. And let me read this scripture to you. We can stay there in John. But the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, just two verses. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." See, he's the comforter. He comforts us in our tribulation, but he does it so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the same comfort, the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. So let's come to him in prayer, but then be willing to receive the comfort that Jesus offers. And not just receive it for yourself, but then there's something about offering comfort to others. So we receive comfort, and then we seek to comfort, to give comfort. It's like a circle we keep going. But when I'm hurting, I receive comfort, I give comfort, I receive comfort, I give comfort, I receive blessing, I give blessing, strength, peace, joy, all of those. We complete the circles like that. And some of you may be familiar with the brother who lost his, he was a minor league pitcher. I mean, just share a quick testimony real quick. He's a minor league pitcher named Blake Bivens, and he had gotten a call. He's with the, I think it was the Tampa Bay. Yeah, he's with the Tampa Bay organization, and he was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He got a call telling him to come home. So he's at the airport, and he's got his phone. He looks on Facebook, and this is what he sees. He sees these headlines that says that two females and a small child were gone. That's how he found out his family was just murdered. He said he knew in his heart as soon as he saw that on Facebook that that was his family. And what had happened was his brother-in-law, at least he's charged with the crime, had gone in and had murdered his wife, his young son, and his mother-in-law. And this testimony that he shares here, he said that the hardest moment was when he walked home, or not walked in, but walked into his house, and he went into his young son's room and realized he'll never see him again. He said, "That was the hardest thing I've ever faced in my life." I said, "Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, I can't even imagine being in his shoes." Now, here's the thing about it. He got with his pastor. See, he had been brought up in church, and he had that faith foundation. And that doesn't make us immune to hurt and pain and loss, but thank God he can give us something to hold on to in those just possibly devastating moments. And he said that sleepless nights and the tears and everything that went on. And he said one day the Lord just basically opened up his eyes, and the scripture that Jesus spoke in John 16, 33, yes, in the world we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he said, this is the Lord put into his heart. He said, you know, I sent my only begotten son to the cross. I had to turn my back on him as he was brutally murdered and beaten as he hung on the cross. And he said, if there's someone who understands, you do. So he could relate. He said, Lord, if there's anyone who can understand, you do. And he said, you really understand every pain I'm feeling, and it doesn't matter the pain. It doesn't matter the situation. God understands, and he wants to offer this encouragement to others. He knows your heart. He said, just keep seeking after him. He says, rely on God and his promises. And he said, you know what? I realize this isn't the end. I'm going to see my son. I'm going to see my family again, and I'm going to turn this around. And what the devil meant for evil, good's going to come out of it, because I'm going to give God praise. And he's sharing that testimony. That's what's called grace, because Jesus offers comfort. And second, Jesus offers peace. Jesus offers peace. Right here in John chapter 20, once again, beginning in verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19, we read these words in Scripture. It says, on the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that was the resurrection day, it says, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, notice, for fear of the Jews. They were scared. Think about this a moment. See, their hopes had just been crushed. Have you ever had your hopes? I mean, they believed Jesus was the Messiah. They were believing, they were hoping, they were expecting, and it just came crumbling down, it seemed like, by the circumstances. Their hopes were crushed. They had seen Jesus brutally slaughtered, butchered, beyond human recognition. And the Bible says they're hiding in fear with the doors locked because they don't know if they're next, because they were associated with him. But all of a sudden, the next verse says this. This is actually the same verse there, verse 19. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, he had to calm them down. He said, peace to you. And then even as the Father sent me, I also send you. So he offered them peace. See, he is the Prince of Peace. And God, he's never been shaken. He's never been upset. He's never been alarmed in that sense. And he is our rock of security. You know that since Adam and Eve sinned, the very first negative emotion mentioned in Scripture is fear. They were hiding, and God was seeking them. He wanted to restore them. Adam, where are you? I was afraid. I hid myself, fear. And we've battled it ever since. And all throughout Scripture, I mean start to finish. Fear not, fear not, fear not. God's not wasting his words. He's saying it because people are scared. People are fearful. Oh my goodness. Think of all of the circumstances and the situations and even sometimes the words and the people that can incite fear in our hearts. Now, I'll be honest with you, even with some of the news that's going on, not to try to make light of the coronavirus or I got COVID. I was trying to remember the other word, COVID-19. But man, a lot of it seems to have been fear-based. It's like, I remember at one point just a few weeks ago, they were talking about possibly 2.2 million people dying right here in the United States. As it turns out, there aren't that many people in all the world who have died. Thank God. There aren't half of that, about a quarter of that. And so thank God. But if that's all we dwell on and we feed it, again, I watch the news, I get the headlines, I'm informed, but I can't watch that 24 hours a day and walk in peace. I'm just telling you for me, I've got to have something more. Jesus offers peace. He gives us a good word. He lets us know that He still is God. He will be with us through this temporary situation, and He's got perfect coming for us forever. So He offers us peace, and thank God. Yes, the reality is we're human. We're going to face fear. We're going to feel fear at times, but God does not want us to be controlled and dominated by fear. He wants us to be led by His Holy Spirit. So Jesus offers peace. He says this in John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 27. And this became real personal to me, I guess, some time back, a few months back, when I was with my wife there before she was getting ready to go to surgery. And, you know, we're human. We have our emotions. You kind of have a little bit of anxiety, even when you're believing that, you know, things are going to work out. God's going to bring you through this and this part of the healing journey. Jesus says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Please hear that. "My peace I give to you." The peace of Jesus, He's given it. He's offering it. Jesus offers comfort. Jesus offers peace. "My peace I give to you," not like the world gives, because that's temporary. That's based on circumstance. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I said, "Kim," I brought that verse up to her. I said, "Just tell him," I said, "Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your peace." So it's not wrong to pray, "I need peace, I need peace, I need peace." But if God is offering, let's put ourselves in a state and faith to receive too. Jesus said, "I'm bequeathing it, I'm giving it to you." So our part then is to believe Him, to trust, believe His word, and say, "Lord, I receive your peace right now. I receive your peace over my troubled heart. I receive your peace over my worried and troubled mind." And the Bible says that what we focus on, and when we pray with thanksgiving, it affects our peace. Philippians chapter 4 says, "Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about those things. Don't let it control you. Instead, overcome the anxiety and the worry and the fear by praying. Pour out your heart to God, but do it with thanksgiving." That's the key, because that brings God in. That puts the focus on God. It recognizes His blessings for what He has done, who He is, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Just like we sang, "Even when I don't see it, you're working." So we offer thanksgiving, and then He follows right up with the next statement in that scripture, Philippians 4, and He gives us 8 categories. He said, "Focus on these things, dwell on these things, put your mind on these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So we can affect our peace by what we choose to dwell on. Yes, we face the battle, we feel the fear, but we can choose by faith to overcome fear with truth, the truth of God. So Jesus offers comfort, Jesus offers peace, and then one more in John chapter 21, Jesus offers restoration. So Jesus offers CPR, comfort, peace, restoration. Comfort, peace, restoration. Before we read this account here in John chapter 21, I believe many of us, maybe all of us, who are listening or watching right now can relate to that feeling of failure, feeling just that condemnation or the guilt, like, "Man, I blew it again. I messed up again. I can't believe I did that. I told God I was never going to do that again." And you do it again. And I really believe, like this man we're going to read about, it was with the best of intentions. He told Jesus, when Jesus said, "You're all going to betray me. You're going to leave me in the hour when I really need you most." And this one brother stood up, Peter. He's, "I'll never, Lord, they may, but I'll never leave. You count on me, Lord." And then Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you, you're going to deny that you even know me 3 times before the rooster crows twice. Lord, I'd never do that." I really believe he meant it. I believe it was with the best of intentions. But Jesus even told us, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We need him. We need him to even be true to him. We need his grace and we need his strength and help. But thank God, in those moments when we fall, He offers restoration. The Bible says this in John chapter 21, that the disciples had been out, they were fishing, they fished all night and caught nothing. Verse 9 says, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid on it and bread. Jesus had his homemade biscuits and salt herring, St. Peter's fish going there. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish which you've caught, because they hadn't caught anything. And then Jesus told them, throw your net over here on the other side. And when they did, they had such a huge catch, 153 large fish. He said, bring them on over here. So that's how the Lord wants to make us productive. And even though Peter feeling that condemnation and guilt, yet Jesus reaching out to him. That's the kind of Savior we have. That's the kind of Lord we have. He doesn't just kick us out when we fall short. He brings us back to himself. Thank God, I'm a recipient of restoration. I thank God that Jesus offers restoration. And the Bible says this in verse 12. Jesus said to them, come eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. And then later on in verse 15, we read these words. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? We don't know what the these necessarily, maybe more than these other disciples, since you said you were going to be true. Maybe more than these fish, maybe other financial gain or whatever. Whatever it is, Jesus just wants us to put our faith and love toward him. Think about that. Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. But then afterward, he saw Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus, when he got that third denial out of his mouth, Jesus looked at him. And can you imagine being beaten and all of that already on the way to the cross? And his heart was so just cut, he knew he had fallen short. Can you imagine what he was experiencing in that moment? And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. But now Jesus is reaching out to him. And three times Peter denied him. And three times Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And this is what he told him. He says it. Let me just read you one of them there. He says this in verse 15. Let me continue there. Simon, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Do you see the restoration there? Do you see how God didn't just kick him out? And he worked with him. And he said, I still have a plan for your life. I still have a purpose. I still have a call on you, Peter. I want you to come and now I want you to serve me, show your love for me by not only loving me, but by loving people and going to reach them and tend my sheep and feed my sheep and tend my lambs. I want to use you, Peter. Don't give up on yourself. I haven't given up on you. Because Jesus offers comfort, peace, and restoration. I've got to say that the first step of restoration is to come to that place where under God's Holy Spirit, we are convicted of our sin and unbelief, and we recognize that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is a holy God, and my sin separates me from him now and forever. But I thank God this God loves me, and he demonstrated how much he loved me because he sacrificed the life of his own sinless son in my behalf. And when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he was taking our punishment on himself. He bore our judgment on himself and paid the price in full. The reason Jesus offers full restoration is because the full penalty has been paid. The full debt has been satisfied. Justice has been served. And now he can freely offer pardon and mercy to one who simply repents. That means, yes, I've sinned. I don't have anything to offer this holy God but me and my faith. So I'm turning from unbelief and I'm going to put my trust in Jesus, that he really is who he said he was, Lord of all, that he died to save me. He came back to life and I'm calling on you right now, Jesus. I believe you. I receive you as the Lord of my life. And that's the first step, and welcome to the family. Restoration, a new beginning. And the thing about it is, and we know the Lord, man, we still fall occasionally at times. And Jesus still offers new beginnings. Now, I'm not making light of sin. sin carries consequences. And when we fall, depending on the nature of it, we may have to walk through some consequences. Just by the fact that we're forgiven doesn't mean we don't have to walk through some things. Here's the key. God is with us, and He will give us grace to walk through those consequences and not keep doing it if we'll just simply trust Him. Jesus offers CPR. I want to close with this today, just kind of making a little personal invitation. Are you hurting? What fear are you battling? I'm not even going to ask if you're battling a fear, man. It's just too much of it in this world that we face. What fear are you battling right now? Are you battling maybe a sense of just condemnation, feeling like you're a failure? Jesus offers CPR. He offers comfort. He offers peace. He offers restoration. Please, please receive this. What Jesus ultimately offers is Himself. Because comfort, peace, restoration, they're just three of the many blessings Jesus offers to all who simply come to Him and just have a close, ongoing fellowship with Him. It all comes back to just close fellowship with our Lord, walking with Him. We're on a journey together. So how close are you? How close are you? And if you want to be close, all you have to do, please, will you do this? Will you give Him your attention right now to focus on Jesus? Will you give Him your heart? And will you give Him your trust? And my brother, my sister, would you please, Jesus offers CPR. Will you just receive today what Jesus purchased to give you? And will you do it to the glory of God? Can we close in prayer as I invite the worship team back up?